Welcome to the second hour of A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and we are on WGH Talk. We're also live on Facebook at this hour. I should have mentioned that the first hour, but you can go on my page, Linda Sims, and pull up the Facebook Live of myself and my guest today, Jeff Porter. Now, we also stream live on the web. Okay, and you can also find in the archives recent shows that we have done if you would like to listen to some shows that have been pre-recorded. Now, the web is www.wwgh1071.com, or out of your Play Store, there is an app called TuneIn. Type that in, and once you download that app on any electronic device, iPhones, cell phones, laptops, or computers, or any type of device like that. Once you do, please search WWGH, and you have to type that in as well, okay? Or you can call in during this live broadcast by calling 740-383-9944 for questions or comments or just to be a part of the conversation. Okay, sponsors, supporters. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement for them, free produce every third Saturday of every month. This one will take place this Saturday, October the 15th, beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please take advantage of this announcement and share with others. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio. 262-0939. Thank you. If it's your first time tuning in to A Voice of a People, I pray it's not your last time. And for those who are faithful listeners of this show, thank you for your continued support. I love you all. Thank you. A thought for today. I will not share this last thought I had for today. We had some controversy about that one. And this one is titled, Silence is Gold. If speech is silver, silence is gold. When you must speak, speak a few words. Speak sweetly and softly. That is the way to reach a listener's heart. Now, Jeff Porter is my guest today, author of the book titled, Expressions of the Last Days. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm just wonderful today.
Well, praise God. Good to see you.
That's in contrast to where I was a few weeks ago.
Yes, you're alive and well and doing great.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
I had some friends come over. I was trying to get up in a piece of furniture, in a chair or a couch or something. I couldn't get in it. My legs are just giving out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still don't know what caused it.
Wow.
I think it was probably the diabetes. But I finally did get on the couch.
Okay.
So I didn't want to spend a whole week on the floor.
Of course not. Of course not.
But somebody called me when I first had these problems, and I ended up on the floor because I had to go use the restroom and stuff. And they called me and said, how are you doing? I said, I'd be all right if I wasn't crawling around the floor like a dog. So finally, people started showing up at my house to help me out,
Praise
that was
God.
Really great.
Yes, it was.
Of them, Wow. It was a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't last too long.
Amen.
Only lasted a few weeks.
Amen. Amen. And if you did not hear the last hour, we had a really great show, and we're praying that God is still with us, and we're going to have a great show this last hour here. I call it hours. We have a segment of 45 minutes. The first 15 minutes of the hour is usually filled with commercials. So, and we're left with like 45 minutes. And we will be talking about the benefits of worship. And last hour, like I was saying, we talked about the spirit of fear, which runs rampant in our society and in our nation, and attaches itself to different people. And you, and it's not that because you are a believer that you're null and void from that spirit of fear, because you are not. You know, because we are believers and we have witnessed and been a part of that spirit of fear and how it can be paralyzing to people and just fearful. And you can act out trying to kill or hurt other people because you think it's coming from them and it's coming from the enemy. Right, Jeff?
Yep. That's right.
Coming from the enemy, and he comes to kill.
We wrestle
still.
Not against flesh and blood.
Perfect. But against what?
Principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen. Amen. Mm. So true. So true. And like this hour, we're going to talk about the benefits of worship. You know, because a lot of people don't want to come to church, and they make up all these excuses. Well, I heard one person say, if I walk in the building, the whole building will collapse. Well, for
yeah,
that
because they think they're such a sinner.
Right. You know, they're just so bad that, you know, God can't withstand their sin or who they are as a person. But the building's not going to collapse.
I mean, God saves murderers. He saves child molesters.
Yes.
I mean, the worst sinners imaginable.
Right.
Out there, he brings them into the kingdom. So how could you be so bad? You know, who are you going to compare yourself to, you know?
And not only that, Jeff, he saved you, and he saved me.
Yeah.
You're born into this world with a sin nature.
Yes.
God knew that. He's not surprised. Why do you think he died?
Yeah. You know, if you say that that God can't forgive you, then you are reducing the power of the cross.
Yes.
Because his death on the cross covers all sins. I heard this one preacher say, it's so cool the way he said that. He said, all of the sins of all of the world have already been forgiven.
Yes.
All you have to do is accept it.
Is accept it.
Yeah. And it's already there. You don't have any excuse for rejecting it.
Right. And acknowledge who did it.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. So powerful. So powerful.
Well, Paul. Look at Paul.
Right, right.
He was approving of killing Christians.
Oh, yes. He said he was the chief sinner. He was
the chiefest of sinners.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And he felt unworthy to even come to the Christians and say, well, you know, it's Christ who has given us grace, because he never really puffed himself up with pride about, you know.
No. I don't think God really let him, because he went through so much sorrow and pain.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know what? Worship helps relieve sorrow and pain. Now, this article I'm going to be reading, and Jeff will be looking up scriptures as I ask him to look them up. This is the Westminster Shorter Catechism of Faith states, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God, that's worship. To enjoy him forever, that's the all-encompassing reward that includes these specific benefits. What is the benefit of worship? Why should I go to church? Why should I acknowledge God? Why should I be thankful to him? Why should I glorify him and lift him up? Why should I do that? Number one, forgiveness. True worshipers recognize God's holiness and accept his forgiveness. Now, Jeff, that first scripture is Romans 5 and 1. Forgiveness. This is why we worship him, because he has forgiven us. And, you know, Jeff and I just talked about that before the scripture. Now, we need Romans 5 and 1.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. We recognize God's holiness and accept his forgiveness. And then there's 1 John 1, 9.
Give me all easy ones. 1 John?
1 John 1, 9.
Okay, I'm going the wrong way here.
Mm-hmm. talking about forgiveness. This is the first benefit of worship. True worship.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. 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 Through worship, they are, yes, they are. Through worship, they are purified. And the second benefit of worship is guidance. Those who honor God will be given wisdom and will receive his guidance day by day. And that's Proverbs 1:7. Those who honor God will be given wisdom and will receive his guidance day by day. Jeff will be reading Proverbs 1, verse 7.
Proverbs.
Chapter 1, verse 7.
Chapter 1. Okay. Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Now we need Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Now that's the one, isn't
that's
it?
That's a good one.
That is
and
the one.
And I found
one.
That to be true in my own life.
Yes.
Many times.
Yes, same here. Same
because
here.
Because there are times when I was just lost, and said, okay, Lord, you got to show me the way. I don't have no clue as to what I'm supposed to do next.
Yeah, when you're tired of going around in that circle.
Yeah, going around and around.
Chasing your tail, right?
Yeah.
You get tired of doing that. Like, what's up? What? There has to be another way.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, eventually God does give you guidance. I mean, it took a long time before God spoke to me about that evangelism I'm supposed to be doing. But it still hasn't happened yet, but I know it will. But when he spoke it to me, it was a long time between... I knew it from... I had had whispers of it from when I was a kid, even, up until then. But it took a long time for him to speak that to me. So, he knows what he's doing. I don't.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And sometimes I think God sits back and laughs at us because we think we're so smart, right?
Yeah, we're so strong. And we're going to knock them all down.
Right. And we just know what we're doing, and we're just... fighting against the wind, you know, in our own strength, you know, and he's like, wow, my children, they won't even think to ask me for help, you know. And like you said, when you come to the end of yourself, then it's like, Lord, what's going on? Help me, right?
I think, you know, that's why a lot of this, these afflictions have come to my body is because the body, if the body is not as strong, then the spirit becomes more evident, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're more dependent on God
right.
when you have physical afflictions, you know.
That's where that saying comes, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine say that. What is that supposed to mean? When I'm weak, I'm strong. That's a direct contradiction.
Right.
And I said, it is true, though, because when we're strong, we don't think we need God. But when we're weak, we can be strong in the Lord, not of ourselves. We must decrease, he must increase.
Yes.
You can't sanctify yourself.
No, you
God
cannot.
God has to sanctify you.
That's so true. So true. What is another benefit of worship? Number 3 is provision. We will be calling on Jeff to look up Psalms 23. Before I'm going to let him look while I read this. Jesus said that God will meet our material needs if we give him first place in our lives.
23, you want the whole thing?
Yes.
It's a short psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a famous one. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
You know, when you're laying there in the hospital and you think, you know, I could die from this. Well, if I die, then I'm going to be with the Lord. I'll be better off. Sometimes
yes.
We don't think that way. You know, I don't think I'm ready for this, or, you know.
And sometimes you do, like you said, you can be so sick.
Yeah.
And have no relief. And you say, well, Lord, you know, if it's my time.
Well, I've been there. I've been so sick, I don't know what to think. I was like, so sick.
Right.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember sitting on the edge of my couch just kind of rocking back and forth because the pain and the sorrow is just too much. But eventually, it goes away and God becomes real again.
I've been there. Lord, you know, if it's my time, I'll go. But I don't want to go.
And don't leave me in this pain. Either take me or make the pain go away.
I don't want to go, but if you want me to, I'll go, you know.
Yeah, we still got stuff to do, don't we?
Yeah, it's not only that. It's the promises that he has made to you. And it's like, Lord, you still told me you had a lot to do, you know.
Yeah.
So, but if you're finished with me, I'll just go, right? So what else?
Think, you know all these people that have died and are in heaven. I wonder what they're doing. Do you ever wonder that?
I think I kind of talked to you about that the other day.
Yeah.
About heaven and we just talked about this yesterday. I think about heaven and once you leave this life, like you said, you're immediately present with the Lord.
But
what after that?
You know, the only glimpse I've got of that is that he leads us on into eternity and shows us greater and greater things as time goes on. There's no time there, but that's the only way I know how to put it. So, he leads us through different doors and, you know, we might end up in fantastic cities or whatever. I don't know. But I know that he's gonna be teaching us
right
about eternity.
Yes. Wow. What a lesson that will be.
Yes.
Like David said, it's too high for me. I can't attain it. I can't grab it. I can't grasp it. I don't understand it. You know,
yes.
And maybe we'll be more apt to understand it. Maybe he'll just take our brain.
Well, I think he's going to take us one step at a time so that he won't take us beyond what we can comprehend.
He has to, right?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, he has to. Now, the other scripture is Matthew 6:33. The third benefit of worship is provision. Jesus said that God will meet our material needs if we give him first place in our lives. And this is Matthew 6:33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. 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 Seek him
yes.
first. Seek him first. Even when you're down and out and you don't know which way to turn, and your first instinct is, let me call mom and let me share this with her. Maybe she can help me. Maybe she can pray with me. You know, seek God first.
Yes.
See what he has to say. See how he will relieve you or that he will fix the problem for you. You know, I have found out when I am down and out and have no way, nowhere to turn, And I have collapsed in the middle of my living room before on the floor. My daughter was in Akron, Ohio. She had taken some type of medication, right? And she started bleeding on the inside, like inward bleeding, you know.
Which daughter was that?
My baby girl. And they didn't know how to stop it. They couldn't stop it. And she was just internal bleeding. From this medication, she was allergic to it. They didn't know she was allergic to it, nor did she.
Mm.
And it was an antibiotic that they had given her because of an infection in her body. Well, I'm here in Marion, no car, no way to get there, and they're calling me like every 5 minutes, giving me updates. Well, she's not doing good. She's doing worse, and she's still internally bleeding, you know, and I'm like, all the while they're calling me, I'm packing clothes. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm packing this, you know, my little suitcase and everything, and I'm like.
Where did they take her?
She was in Akron in the hospital. Oh. Yeah, but, and her sister lived there, too, so she was calling me, telling me what was going on, and I just.
You didn't have the money for a plane ticket, probably.
I don't know what I had at that moment. All I know is my baby girl is down there bleeding to death.
Oh.
Right? And I can't get there. And all I could do was collapse on the floor and just cry, Lord, you can be there because I can't be there. You go before me. Mm-hmm. I have no way to get there. And I'm still heaped in this pile on the floor and the phone rings. Mm-hmm. And someone asked me, how was I doing? And all I could say was, I'm crying, and I couldn't even get myself together to really answer the phone. And they said, well, what's wrong? And I was telling them what was wrong, and they said, I'll take you. I'll take you.
From Marion to Akron?
From Marion to Akron, I will take you. That's what friends do. You know, but I went to God first.
Mm-hmm.
And he rectified that situation immediately.
There are times, though, when we don't.
Yes. We want to call other people.
It just doesn't occur to us to go, hey, God, I'm in trouble here. Help.
Yes. You know? Yes. And that should be our first instinct. And that's exactly what he's sharing with us today. That is a part of worship. It's not. Singing is a part of worship. And reading the scripture is a part of worship and all that. But he's letting us know forgiveness is a part of worship. Guidance is a part of worship. Provision is a type of worship. All these things are included in worship. And like Jeff just read, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so we don't look at worship as these things that we're sharing today, right?
But it is.
It is. And the next one is love. And that scripture, Jeff, is that was Matthew 6:33 you read. Now this one is John 14:21. That'll be the doggone stink bug.
Gosh, it scared me.
It scared me. Forgive us.
John 14.
Wait a minute. 21. And let me read this first. The love of God is experienced in the hearts of all those who are true worshipers. True worshipers. John 14:21, Jeff.
So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly unto the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. In other words, he had invited his friends to a big feast, and they all had excuses as to why they couldn't come. And so the king said, go out and get the poor and the down and out and the sick and the afflicted and bring them in, and they'll be appreciative. Right?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Go out to said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know, this reminds me of, and I don't know if I should mention this or not, but. Now, it was back a few years ago when I was on the streets, me and Mike, in the 1980s. That's not what they look forward to coming to their church. They want people with money and cars, and they smell good, they look good, you know, and they're all nice and civilized and everything. But if they have a down-and-outer come in, like me and Mike were, you know, we were dirty and had long, we both had long hair, and, you know, I know I was on the streets because I was being stupid, if you want to say so. I believe God led me out there, though.
Mm-hmm.
And they reject the poor in a lot of churches. They didn't, They think you're trying to take advantage of them. What do you think? What do you think about that, Linda?
Taking advantage of what?
They think if a down and outer comes in the midst of their congregation, that they're trying to take advantage of them and get money and food and stuff for free.
You know, you don't want to really think that that's their intentions, but even it does happen.
It happens.
It does happen, you know, but we want to think that people are more concerned about the lost and the downtrodden and the widow and the fatherless and the motherless and, you know, those who are oppressed of the enemy. And, you know, that's what the church is for. It's supposed to be a safe haven
for people. It's a spiritual hospital.
A spiritual hospital.
It's not for those who are, you know, Jesus said the doctor doesn't deal with people who are well.
No.
He deals with people who are sick.
Who are sick. And need a physician.
Right.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And Jesus is that physician.
Yes, he is.
A lot of times. A lot of people are down and out and on the streets because they haven't understood the things of God.
Right.
God will get you off the streets. I'm a perfect example.
Ooh, yes, he will.
He uses practical means to do that a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Things that we don't even consider, especially when you're down and out and you're not thinking correctly, you know.
Well, you know, my dad was a workaholic.
Was he?
And he turned me off towards working. But one day I was home and I was trying to get a job, and I kept trying to get jobs in factories, and I'd quit. Mom, she gave me some wisdom. I was getting some stuff out of family. I was getting some of my bonds out that I had accumulated in the Army. And she said, "What makes you think you got to work in a factory? You don't like factory work. Go find some other kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sell cars.
Right.
Get an office job. Mm-hmm. Something like that. As long as it pays a paycheck. And you're halfway decent with it, you know. You don't have to work a job that you hate."
Wow.
You know, and I started doing a lot better after that, you know.
Well, good.
But I thought I had to do what my dad did.
Oh, you know, yeah, I can understand that.
That all he ever did was work on mechanical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no skill for that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no mechanical skills. And I thought, and it made me feel guilty. I should know this stuff. But I'd go out there and try to help him work on it. He'd buy old cars just to work on them. And I couldn't learn it because I wasn't interested. So, God had me go in a different direction. He doesn't give everybody the same skills.
No, he does not. No, he does not. Now, this next benefit of worship is power. And that would be 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Power to all who give God the glory he deserves. He gives the enablement to do things he requires of them. I'm going to read that again. Power to all who give God the glory he deserves. He gives the enablement to do the things he requires of them. So we even need God to enable us to do things he requires of us. Which scripture did I give you, Jeff?
I think it was 2 Corinthians 12, 10, was it?
7 through 10, yes.
12, 7 through 10.
Uh-huh.
At least I should be exalted above the measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, least I should be exalted above measure. And, you know, we've had a lot of controversy about what that thorn is. I don't think we'll ever figure it out till we get to heaven. But he was given something to keep him from being full of pride. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I gather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may be rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, the Word Faith movement, prosperity movement, teaches that We don't have to go through all that. Distresses and persecutions and reproaches and necessities and all that. They say that we should be perfectly insulated all the time and have perpetual health and perpetual wealth all the time.
Let's try Ephesians 3:14-21.
Okay.
And we're still talking about power, how God enables
Ephesians
us. Chapter 3:14-21.
For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by the Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
That's powerful there, that
yes,
Ephesians,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, if God could come along and say, I want you to do something over here, and what he's asking you to do is beyond, it's probably beyond human ability.
Right, and strength,
you know,
yes.
This scripture will tell you that he can give you the strength and the power, and he can go ahead of you and set things up so that it can be done.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just have to trust him.
Amen, amen. And that's where our trust should always lie in God,
yes.
Because he is trustworthy. He is also immovable and faithful. You know, he is infallible. He is,
yes.
You know, he's incapable of making mistakes or being wrong, you know.
Yeah.
And he's immutable. I mean, he's non-changing. He never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. So we can trust him. We can put our trust in him. We can put our faith in him. Because without him, he's invincible. Absolutely.
Right.
Who can
We're
move?
We're not, but he is.
Who can move him? Who can make him do anything?
No, nobody.
Nobody. Absolutely. Boy, that was powerful reading there. Also, one of the benefits of worship is protection. This one will be found in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. Protection is a benefit of worship. He faithfully watches over all who acknowledge him, and he keeps them in all of life's changing circumstances.
I'm sorry, 1 Peter
chapter 1, verse 5. Protection.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Try Psalms 5:11-12. Protection is a benefit of worship.
Proverbs. Oh, Psalms.
Psalms 5.
Psalms 5.
Mm-hmm. God watches over all who acknowledge him. Remember, Jeff read that scripture. Seek ye first.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And we're on reading Psalms chapter 5. One of the benefits of worship is protection, and that is listed as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, number 6. Verse 5. You got chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5?
We already did that one. But the book of
Psalms 5:11-12.
But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name to be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield.
Bless the righteous with favor. We need God's favor, don't we?
Yes.
blessed of God and highly favored. Have you heard people say that before?
Yes, I've experienced that. You know, somebody was giving me a really bad time at work, and it just went on and on, and all of a sudden, that person got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Or they quit. Mm-hmm. Some, I had that happen several times in my workplace, stuff like that. And you know God did that.
Of course.
Because you're his child.
Yes.
He doesn't like somebody messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So true. So true.
And how are they going to deal with God? They can't deal with God.
Mm. They think they can,
though. Some people have an evil mind. They know how to get to you. But God knows how to get to them.
You know what the problem is? They do not understand the relationship you have with God.
Yeah.
And that
right.
He is your protector. Against them.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people don't understand, you know. And they do things to God's people and try to hurt them or shice them or, you know.
They're always doing all this underhanded stuff.
Yeah, always. But they don't realize who you serve.
Yeah. And so I'm not good at that stuff. And probably best that I'm not. But, and I admit I raised my hand against my enemies before. Mostly just running my mouth. You know, but I didn't do it a lot. But the buses got really bad about that towards the end. They were really on my case. But eventually God intervened and I didn't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, I'm really learning something about the benefits of worship and understanding that is more than music and singing and the benefits
yes.
that we receive by putting God first. And all of these that I have mentioned, forgiveness, worshippers recognize God's holiness and accept His forgiveness. Number two is guidance. Those who honor God will be given wisdom and will receive His guidance day by day. And number three, provision. Jesus said that God will meet our material needs if we give Him first place in our lives. Number four is love. The love of God is experienced in the hearts of all those who are true worshipers. And this is, number five, is power to all who give God the glory. So God is putting Himself number one in all of these benefits. They all come from Him. And we're thanking Him and glorifying Him and lifting Him up and praising His holy name. And even the protection, which Jeff just read. This was the last one on the list, and it's considered categorized as glory. Jeff, that would be at 2 Peter chapter 3. Glory. All true worshipers will one day be glorified. This is what we get from the benefits of worship and putting God first. All true worshipers will one day be glorified. They will inherit a new heaven and a new earth and join a company of believers and angels in perfect, uninterrupted worship. One day.
2 Peter.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
And verse 13.
Well, I'll start with, 13. Okay, I get it. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
And there's Revelation 19, 1 through 10. Glory. The worshipers will one day be glorified for how they put their trust in
Revelation
God.
19.
Verses 1 through 10. They will inherit a new heaven and a new earth and join a company of believers and angels in perfect, uninterrupted worship.
And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power be unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, our God.
1 through 10.
Oh, through 10, okay. For true and righteous are the judgments, for He has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on his throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard it as if the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, and saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reign. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted all that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, white, fine linen in the righteousness of saints. And he said unto them, Write, blessed are they which are come unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, See thou do it not, for I am a servant, I am the fellow servant, and I am thy brethren, and have testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Let us continue to give him all the glory and give him all the praise because, you know, our work is not in vain.
That's right.
There is a reward coming to those who worship God.
Amen.
In spirit and in truth. You know, people say, how can I worship God? In spirit, because God is a spirit.
Yes.
So we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. The trueness of our heart, you know, giving him all the glory, giving him all the praise, lifting him up, and, you know, just letting him be a part of your life, a part of your day. Keep him first, you know, and continue to receive the benefits of worship. That doesn't mean stop singing. That doesn't mean stop playing your music, your Christian music, or whatever music that you use to glorify God. Continue in those things. And just know that benefits are coming to you each and every day. And what about power to do what God has asked you to do? How important is that, Jeff?
All important.
Yes, it is.
Because we can't do it ourselves.
No.
Just like we can't crucify our own flesh.
Right, right.
And we have to let God do all that stuff.
Yes, we do. And to lead us and guide us each and every day.
Yes.
You know, that we're on the right road when we get up in the morning. Lord, you lead me today in the way you want me to go.
Well, you know, a lot of people, and I've said this many times before, they're doing good things, but it's not what God has called them to do.
You did,
you got to make sure that God has called you to whatever you're doing. You know, sometimes you'd be doing something and you think it's of God, and eventually God shows you that, no, that doesn't mean you've committed the unpardonable sin or anything. Just means that, you know, you sometimes you just have to hit and miss, you know.
Right, and that's how important his guidance is, that he cares so much about us that he'll say, well, no, don't go this way, go that way, you know, or stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he'll tell you to stop, too.
I was going to do a bunch of just good stuff for this church I'm in right now, and the Lord showed me, no, I don't want you doing all that stuff. Just sit there and wait on me. I'll show you what to do.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. Yes,
and, he made that crystal clear.
Mm-hmm. And that's something.
So I'm not, you know, and I said to myself, well, I talked to a friend of mine about that, and I said, I guess I'm not there to please everybody and make them all happy with me or anything. It seemed like it's just the opposite. A lot of times when I was talking about the Word Faith movement and stuff and showing them what's bad about it, a lot of people didn't like that.
Right.
But we're not supposed to worry about what they think.
No, know? It's
and
not
that's
about
what I'm
them.
Learning.
Right.
In that little crucible of flame and stuff where God puts you there and let people get on your case about, you know, I don't what they believe is contradictory. You know, they don't like that being pointed out at all.
No, that's so true. That's so true. And we want to be in his will.
Yes.
Because
in
that's
his timing.
Yes, and in his time. Oh, don't even tell me how important that is. That's more important than anything I really have talked about. Because sometimes we can be ahead of God or behind him, right? Or behind him, and just wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Like the parable talks about the two, what was it, two brothers. One said that they would take care of what their father had asked him to, and he didn't even go. But
the prodigal son.
Well, there's one that said he would go and do what the Father said. And for a while he didn't go, but then he did go and
do it.
That one. And then the one, he said he was going to do it and didn't do it. So which one did God bless the most?
You know, the one that finally did.
That
he
did
said,
it.
You know, didn't do it, and then he did.
Right.
I read a book called Experiencing God, which is really good. You should get that book because it talks about people who he knew. This minister knew of a guy that was called to go to Egypt and be a missionary, and he passed it up, and he got a degree in engineering, and made himself. Are we completely out of time?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM.